Hey guys, it's Katie J from Houston, Texas. If you're listening right now, chances are that you are at home, in your car, or maybe even walking outside. Point is, most of America is not at work. We are self-quarantining, social distancing, and the like. We are in extremely confusing times right now, but I'm here to offer perspective and hopefully some comfort. What I'll be discussing is my recent experience in Seattle amidst COVID-19. But first, let me take it back to February. So right before Valentine's Day, the coronavirus was still very novel and not a huge concern in the U.S. My boyfriend and I are both teachers. I teach English and he's a band director. So we attended a convention for TMEA, which is the Texas Music Educators Association. We went to this in mid-February in San Antonio. The first day we arrived, there was an article which informed that people were being quarantined in a San Antonio hospital due to the coronavirus. After reading this information, I sat in my hotel room, looked at the air conditioner, and began to ask myself, is this an airborne thing? Have those people already been in this hotel? Have they been to the same places that I've been in town? At this time, very little was known about COVID-19, but I told myself to calm down, take the information with a grain of salt for now, everything is going to be okay. After that, I ventured around downtown San Antonio, walked its streets, visited its unique bars and restaurants, drank beer, ate delicious food, listened to local musicians, and spent time with my friends and loved ones. And all has been well. No panic whatsoever. Within a span of 3 weeks, COVID-19 blew up. All of a sudden, more and more cases were being reported, more deaths. But now, it's happening here, in the U.S., right now. We're in the thick of it. My boyfriend and I had a vacation to Seattle planned between March 7th through the 11th. I had read the cases of the elderly contracting COVID-19 and passing away. I read more about more people becoming sick. All of this right in the heart of Seattle, right before we were going to go on vacation there. Despite everything, I needed to get away from Texas, just for a bit. I needed mountains, Douglas firs, hot coffee, and realignment. I was determined to go to Seattle. My decision to go wasn't out of arrogance. I was completely aware of the risk of traveling to and fro. I knew that if and when I went, that I would have to heighten my already incessant hygiene and practice my favorite hobby, social distancing. The airport was no problem. It only took 20 minutes to go through screening, check in, and find our departure gate. It was the least crowded I have ever seen the airport during spring break. I was in shock, and I'll admit I felt a bit uneasy, but that's nothing a couple of in-flight Bloody Marys couldn't fix. So we arrived in Seattle around 10:30 p.m. that night on March 7th, and our options were pretty limited as far as food went. However, we ended up driving into downtown Seattle and ended up at a bar and restaurant called 13 Coins. Now, this particular location is across the street from CenturyLink Field. As the hostess greeted us, we noticed that there were empty tables and hardly anyone at the bar on a Saturday night in downtown. Despite the resounding emptiness, though, it was peaceful and really allowed my boyfriend and I to enjoy the moment and each other's company. The next day, we ventured back into downtown to eat lunch at Serious Pie and Biscuit, one of the many restaurants owned by Tom Douglas. Even on this beautiful sunny Sunday afternoon, downtown wasn't crowded. Normally, Seattle's traffic is worse than Houston's, but this was different. Driving was a breeze, and public parking was in abundance. It was moderately busy, but we didn't have to wait long to get a table or for our food to be ready. Afterward, we headed to Seattle Center to visit the Museum of Pop Culture, as well as the iconic Space Needle. Again, not many people were there, which allowed for an intimate viewing of the Nirvana, Jimi Hendrix, and the recently added Pearl Jam exhibits. As we strolled through the building, viewing mementos of Kurt Cobain, observing Hendrix's guitars, and listening to Eddie Vedder console us with lyrics like, "I'm still alive," an epiphany began to build. Standing at the top of the Space Needle, overlooking the city, with Mount Rainier peeking through the clouds and the sun setting over the harbor. I realized, yes, we traveled thousands of miles to have this experience, and yes, we were indeed alive. The next day, we went to Pike Place for some good old local shopping. Again, there was no crowd at all. Driving and parking was easy, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Even though Pike Place is an open market, all of the vendors were extremely hygienic as they offered hand sanitizer and encouraged patrons to not touch the food or merchandise. We talked with one man who creates guitars out of cigarette boxes. He looked at us with a sad smile and said, "They're talking about closing it all down with how things are going." And I understood in that moment how vital COVID-19 is to businesses. People make their living through their businesses, crafts, food, etc. And this virus is stripping that from them. Almost immediately after talking with this man, we visited several more shops and bought souvenirs for our friends, with frequent snacks along the way. That evening, we drove to Veretta Park, which neighbors Kurt Cobain's home and serves as a de facto memorial. Another couple was there to pay their respects to the legend, but did not stay long. My boyfriend and I explored through the trees, climbed the hill to see Kurt's house a little better, and read every word and lyric inscribed onto the benches and walls of the park. It's in little moments like this, surrounded by nature, standing where Kurt Cobain lived and breathed, and where thousands of others share their love, that it all makes sense. We each have a purpose. Maybe there was a reason, other than my own choosing, that I was in Seattle during this time. Maybe there was something I could learn, even if I didn't fully comprehend it yet. Maybe it was just a reminder that everything was going to be okay. In each of these little inspiring moments of Seattle, I realized that they were all connected to food, nature, music, and people. Those things together are a force to be reckoned with. We cannot survive without those four things. They each nourish our mind, body, and soul. And this virus is trying really hard to tarnish those things in our lives, but we have to be stronger. A couple of days later, as we waited at our departure gate for the flight back to Texas, it was revealed that the Houston rodeo had been canceled. School districts were extending spring break. We got out of Seattle at the right time, but we were also unsure what to expect when we got back to Texas. We were welcomed with the suspension of the NBA and MLB. Tom Douglas shut down his restaurants. Concerts have been canceled, schools have shut down, and things keep changing every day. None of these things are as heartbreaking as someone dying because of a novel virus. But when we are presented with an issue, we can choose how to react. The majority of America is panicking, and some for good reason. But now is not the time to panic. Now is the time to enjoy the little moments with your friends, family, or even just yourself. The current sound of Seattle and much of the world is silence. But that doesn't warrant dread. Instead, let this time provide you and your family with stillness, calmness. Love each other, be kind to each other, and wash your hands. It's going to be okay.